to Third Tuesday Conversation, a monthly podcast that focuses on the ministry of faith formation with children, youth, and families in ELCA congregations. Our goal is to engage in conversations that strengthen and empower your ministry world. This podcast is produced by the ELCA Youth Ministry Network. I'm Danica Olson.
I'm Elizabeth Pedersen.
And I'm Adam Butler. And today we are joined by Julie Miller, all the way from sunny Colorado. Is it sunny out there today, Julie?
It is. It's sunny and warm today. That snow from yesterday is melting away.
What a glorious thing that must be.
It is indeed.
And Julie is a good friend of ours and a good friend of the ELCA Youth Ministry Network. And many of you who are probably listening, and many of you probably know what Julie does, but we are going to just let Julie tell us all about herself and the work that she's engaged in. And then we're going to dive into our conversation a little bit this afternoon. It's afternoon right now, but you know, it's that kind of like weird Twilight Zone thing where you might be listening to this in the AM or extreme PM. Why is it extreme?
Good one.
So ridiculous.
Hey, Julie, tell us everyone, who you are.
This is what happens when you put me in charge.
We're in this stage of pandemic.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know what time it is. I don't know what day it is.
I have a friend who every morning posts what the calendar date, the day of the week and the calendar date. I'm very grateful for that because you're right, Adam. There is a little bit of a who knows what time it is right now.
Yeah. Okay. So Julie, tell us who you are and what it is that you do.
My name is Julie Miller, and I am a counselor. I work with children, youth, and families. And prior to this work, I was in children, youth, and family ministry for 12 years here in Colorado. I was 8 years at a church in Aurora and 4 at a church in Parker. And during that time, I discerned a call to walking with families through difficult times and being a resource for mental health care. And went back to school, got my graduate degree, and now I have a private practice where I meet with children, youth, and families. I do parent coaching. I do individual counseling, couples counseling, a lot of different things. I also do work part-time with a group that specializes in neurobehavioral disorders. But right now, my practice is looking really very different than it did a month ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing primarily telehealth therapy, using Zoom and meeting one-on-one, doing individual work with folks.
Well, we're really glad to be having this conversation with you today. I'm speaking for the rest of my friends. Yeah, I mean, this
both,
is
I think
friends maybe. And I know, but hosts seem so like. Anyway, we're really glad to be having this conversation today because I think we're seeing that there are new and very important ways that we need to be supporting our families and the youth that we work with. And man, being locked up in your house 24/7 with no end in sight is hard for all of us, but kids who are already struggling with mental health stuff, it's just way ramped up. So
absolutely.
This is just big, real stuff right now. So I guess, first of all, like what should we be doing to best support the families in our congregations right now?
Yeah, those are good. That's a great question. I think if it's okay with you, I really want to start by checking in with you.
Oh, okay.
And asking the three of you, how are you? How are your families? Like I think all three of you are in Minnesota. So, mm-hmm. I mean, tell me what it's like there. How are you guys doing?
My specific family or my congregation families?
No, you. Your family, Danica. How are you and your family doing? What's this been like for you?
Man, my 2 and 4 year old think this is the best thing ever. They mm-hmm. get to be home with us. Lots of home days, lots of pajama days, doing all sorts of things that they don't normally get to do with us during the day because they're at daycare. So while
they're
it's super
it,
great,
right?
Totally, they love it.
And how about you? What's it been like for you?
I am struggling. It's hard to be mm-hmm. 2 full-time employees while parenting full time to littles who need lots of attention and they're not self-sufficient. So they can't pour their own cereal or get their own water or anything. They can't do any of those things. So it's trying, and we joke, but sometimes my husband and I say we need to social distance from one another because I think we're stressed out in trying to be and do all the things. And so we kind of take it out on each other because we're the only other adults in our presence.
That's true. And if you take it out on your two-year-old, you just look like a jerk. So
totally. Which I can't say I haven't done.
So your kiddos are really dependent on you and you're working two full-time jobs and you've got a partner who's there to help you, but the two of you can be at each other's throats sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's tough. Yeah. Do you feel like you have everything that you need right now? Or do you feel like there's something that you need that you don't have or you can't get access to that would be really helpful for you?
That's a loaded question. I think we would, in an ideal world, we'd send our kids to daycare, but even if our daycare was open, we wouldn't send them right now. Right. So it's this mixed bag of, I think partly I just need perspective. I'm a huge extrovert. And so this is like so challenging for me to have three people to talk to and two of them are under the age of five. So
you're needing, like as an extrovert, you're definitely needing connection. And then as a parent, you're needing a break. It sounds like. Some time away from your lovely, beautiful children.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are hard to get right now. Those are the two things that are really hard. Like you can't send your kids to daycare and you can't go out and like hang out with your friends or connect with other people. Mm-hmm. It's tough. I feel your extroverted pain. is there anything specific I could be praying for you, Danica, and all of that?
Gosh, I don't know. That coronavirus or each other aren't the barrel of our family.
Absolutely. That's real stuff. Well, I can pray for that for sure. And then do you think, would it be okay if I check back with you at the end of the week?
Sure.
Okay. That'd be great. Good. Good. Well, I know that you weren't quite expecting that you were going to be the one being interviewed right now, but I appreciate you kind of going along with it and participating. I think this is really kind of what it is to be the church right now, right? Is checking in on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what we have going on right now, what COVID-19 is a trauma. And we're all doing absolutely the best we can just to survive and to cope. And I think I'd want to remind people that this is a good time to let go of expectations. All we have to do right now is keep our heads above water. And there will be a time for us to heal from what's going on, but this is not that time. Trauma has a serious impact on our mental health as well as our physical health. And we need to be taking care of ourselves and taking care of one another as best we can. So I think that's what this time is about. So when you ask me, what can we be doing to support our families? I think primarily checking in. Is it okay? I don't know. It's been a while since I've listened to 30 Tuesday Conversations, but is it okay if I get a little bit nerdy on some brain stuff?
Yes.
Yes, yes, please.
Okay.
We love nerd stuff. Brain stuff.
You love brain stuff? Yeah.
We love it's nerdy amazing, brain really. Stuff.
It's amazing. And when you think about like how complex it is and you think about all that it takes to design and create something like this, it's really incredible. So I think I just want to take a minute and talk about the autonomic nervous system as it relates to trauma and mental health and physical health. And to kind of help give us a sense of really what, when I say what we need to be doing is checking in, why that's important and why that's valuable. So the autonomic nervous system is this amazing part of our bodies that God created to help us manage stress. And it's designed to help us kind of ride the waves of stress and help our brains and our whole body communicate in order to prepare for stress, endure stress, and to recover from stress. And I love this part of our bodies. I love that God created us this way because we're created to be resilient and we are created to be able to handle stress, even though sometimes it feels overwhelming to us. But just because we can handle stress doesn't mean that stress doesn't take a toll on our bodies, our internal organs, our ability to function and participate in relationships, our mental and emotional health. But the good news is this, that our bodies, we're also created to be social beings. Even the most introverted introvert will agree probably, I hope, I think, that there comes a point where people are more helpful and useful and interesting than a cat. And so it's helpful to be part of a community and to be connected to a community. And it's difficult in a time like this, which I think Danica pointed out, if you're in need of connection community, it's hard to be separated from that. That's what makes this trauma very unique. We need community to help us manage our stress. And specifically, we need connection and conversation, and we need the opportunity to be able to share about the things that are hard. Those three activities have a direct positive impact on our autonomic nervous system, and it helps us to de-escalate our stress and our trauma. So when I say that the best thing that you can do right now for the families that you work with is connect, it's true. And when Danica says it's hard because she's an extrovert, what I hear her saying is she needs to connect with people, with community.
Yeah, I love the way that you modeled that, because I think it shows people how easy it is, you know, that it is just, it's asking how people are doing. And I don't think that happens very often. We see the need for this connection that you're talking about, Julie, like on all over social media right now, right? That everybody is needing to connect because they're needing to get out this thing that they're feeling. And so it's coming out in all sorts of ways, like share your senior photo, because that's going to, because it puts you out there and it makes you feel like you're connecting with something that's going on, right? Or it's showing what your house looks like right now because you want to you want to connect with people about how messy it is and how crazy this all is. Or, you know, we're talking constantly about Zoom and house party and Marco Polo and God knows however many apps there are out there doing all these things. Because what happens when all that connection is taken away? And so we're doing it in all these like really creative and out there ways when really, you know, it could just be as simple as saying, how are you right now? What do you need right now? And then would it be okay if I checked back in? Like, can I keep doing this so that people can rely on that connection and that checking in?
Absolutely. And if it's okay, Adam, I would, I'd love to just kind of reiterate what those questions were that I shared there at the beginning with Danica. Would that be all right?
Please. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just started with, there's just four pieces to it. One, I started with, I want to start by checking in with you. How are you? How's your family doing? And there's two pieces to that, right? The how are you, which is super important, but how are the other people that you're sharing space with? Because the well-being of those folks has a direct impact on your well-being, right? So there's those two pieces. The second thing was, do you feel like you have what you need? And I respect what Danica said, which was like, no, what I need is daycare to open up so I can send my children away. I felt that too. Like, I felt like I miss Kim is my nanny, and I miss her sometimes desperately. And it's what I need right now is her, and I can't get that. But it also speaks to the deeper need, which is separation from your kids or help in parenting your children. And that's what you want to listen for. You want to listen for not just, well, I can't bring daycare to you, but you want to listen for what is it that person saying they really need, which is some time away from their kid or some help in parenting their kids. And then finally to ask, what specifically do you want me to be praying for you to be able to know that when this conversation's over, that somebody else is going to carry your needs to the Lord in prayer is huge and is a gift. And it's a way to share the burden. It's a way to help, again, de-escalate the stress and the trauma response in the body to know, okay, I'm not alone in this and I am supported and loved and cared for and I'm being prayed for. And then finally, can I check back with you? That idea of like, this doesn't end here. I'm not just calling this one time to say, hey, are you okay? Like, I want to follow up with you. And I want to take seriously that parenting right now for you is hard and you and your partner are not doing awesome. And are you know, there's some stress in your marriage too. Like, I want to check back in with you and see how that's going a little bit later.
I think it's interesting that as simple as those questions are, like I didn't know that that was going to happen on this. So immediately I felt awkward because I'm typically the one who's reaching out, right? Like,
right.
I think that's the role I see myself in right now. And aside from my close crew, that isn't happening. And so to feel sort of authentically asked and heard, it felt kind of strange if I'm being really honest, because that doesn't happen for me in my life right now. And so thanks for that, first of all.
Thanks for rolling with the surprise. I appreciate
but it,
that.
It and does. You're welcome. It you're does welcome. Really highlight the importance of that, or like the depth of those small questions that can tap into someone's stuff, right? Like,
and all the way into like their nervous system. Do the three of you know Tony Prinsen?
Mm-hmm. No.
I do know who he is, yes.
Okay. So Tony Prinsen is, I think he's a pastor, last I heard was Georgia. I'm not sure if he's still in Georgia, but he's been all over the place. I think he was at Shores of St. Andrews, and he was here in Colorado at Bethany for a while, and that's when I got to know him. I was an interim in youth ministry at Bethany Lutheran when he started there, and as the full-time youth minister. And I think one of the things I'll never forget about Tony is the way he made you feel, or I'm assuming he still makes you feel, like he really hears you and he sees you, and there's nothing else more important in that moment than you and whatever you're going to say next. That is such a gift. And I think that is the ministry skill and tool that is needed right now, mm-hmm. is for people to be known and to be heard and to have their plight acknowledged and recognized and affirmed.
Yeah.
That's such a gift. And I've always appreciated that about Tony. And I think that's the kind of feel that we want to give our families and our parishioners right now, is that you're not alone. You're important. I'm still here for you, even though I'm not physically with you. You're supported and loved and prayed for. I think the other piece that I want to highlight around that, you know, the check-in is important, but there's some pieces to it that, in addition to the questions, that are really important. And one of them is being sincere and being authentic. And Danica, I hope that in my inquisition, my check-in with you, I hope you felt like, I really do care about what things are like for you. With a 2 and 4 year old, that is tough. I have a 2 year old and a 7 year old, and that's tough. But to have a 2 and a 4 year old who are both are completely dependent on you, mm-hmm. that's really, really tough. So I hope you felt that there was a sincere concern for you, and that, that I was authentically asking you, you know, what that was about. But then I think another piece to this is being vulnerable and also sharing, yeah, it's really hard for me too. I think it's been interesting as a therapist and talking with my clients, a lot of times working through anxiety with clients is about acknowledging irrational fears or managing anxiety, autonomic nervous systems that are out of sync for kind of imagined stress. This is not imagined stress. This is not irrational. This is stressful. This is really big, true, hard, difficult stuff. And so part of what I found with my clients is that it's important for me to say, yeah, this is really hard. I'm with you in that. You're not alone in your struggle and your suffering. Danica, you're not alone in being at odds on occasion with your partner. That is a real experience. And especially when you have 2 and 4 year olds under the roof, like that's hard. And then it's hard to get away. Like, where do you go? Where do you go to get away? I found out the hard way that the lock on my bedroom door is broken because I was in the middle of a session and my 2 year old came busting in asking for goldfish.
Yes.
Do you want to guess where her father was? Downstairs by the pantry where the goldfish are. So that, it's tough. Anyway, so that idea of being vulnerable is important. And then finally, the listening and the asking are important too. Like, you can't be afraid to really say, what is it that you need? I mean, it sounds like you're really struggling. What do you need?
That's good.
So that the trauma piece, I think, that's a word that might be, even though we know it, and it feels like, it very physically feels like a trauma, if we apply that word is probably going to be a little bit alarming to people about this particular thing, because it, you know, it has touched our lives in, we hope, passive ways right now, but that's not the case for everyone. And I know that completely. But, you know, I live in small town rural America, and aside from few little pockets of communities like mine, we are largely passively affected by this, in that we're staying home and we're not doing much. But I don't know if I would have thought of the word trauma for it. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the word trauma and why this particular thing of staying home, being with our families all the time, or not being with family and being alone, but like why this particular thing is a trauma and what that means going forward, right? Because there's going to be an end point, whatever it is, in terms of like when we get to kind of get to go back to normal, but it's going to be very murky when, like, how this all plays out. And so talk a little bit about trauma and then what that means going forward with this kind of ambiguous end date.
So Adam, that's a really great question. And for people who don't talk about or think about or work with trauma every day, it does sound maybe out of place and like a strange term to use for an experience like this. And I think oftentimes when we hear trauma or hear the word trauma, we think of something like a horrible car accident or being held up at gunpoint, or maybe even an event like 9/11. We think of those as kind of these major, these traumas. And so it's hard sometimes, I think, when we talk about this experience as a trauma, if your experience of this, of COVID-19 is that, hey, I stay home, I work from home, I don't get to go out and hang out with my friends, that maybe doesn't necessarily feel like a trauma, but the term that we're using, and or the definition for trauma, is a deeply distressing or disturbing experience. And this may be more distressing or disturbing for certain people than for others. But I think our daily routines are upset. Our normal functioning in society is upset. And for two-year-olds and for dogs, it's great, right, Danica? Because my parents are home and my owners are home and it's wonderful. But for teenagers who are supposed to be graduating and going to prom, and for college athletes who are supposed to be competing in the NCAA tournament of their senior year, or for people who are supposed to be getting married, or trying to, if a loved one passes away, they're trying to grieve and mourn and celebrate life with funerals. All of those things right now are put on hold. And that's a major disruption. And I think it ties in closely, our trauma ties in closely right now with the experience of grief and loss. And I think that's a really important piece too, to understand that grief and loss is a huge piece of this for people and what they're going through. And they may or may not be able to name that, but the plans that had been laid, the expectation of what was to come, the direction their life was going, those, all of that has been put to a halt. And that is, grief and loss are real experiences, and they don't relate just to the death of a person that we love or care about, though that is also one of the experiences that people are dealing with right now, but it also relates to all these smaller losses that we have. And they're cumulative as well. I think that's an important piece to know, that grief and loss is cumulative and it adds up. I'm sure that the three of you in some way have experienced some grief or loss yourself in these last few months.
Surely, yes.
So earlier when you were just saying, well, you just said that this is not a normal time and that we're really just in survival mode, and like naming that this is not normal time and we're doing all we can just to stay afloat was, yeah, that's my reality. But to hear another person say that affirms that, oh, okay, I am doing the best I can. Like, this isn't normal. I kind of feel like we're going to get, I think it'll happen in different ways and at different points for people. But when we get through this, I kind of think we're going to look back and be like, what happened there? And like the bottom will fall out at some point for everyone at different points. The bottom may already be falling out for some. But man, I think that what you said about grief and loss being cumulative, man, that's going to pile up and we'll look back and say, what did we just go through?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why I kind of pointed out, like, right now, there's going to be a time for us to heal and to process what's happened. But right now, to just work on keeping our heads above water and survive this time and find the best coping strategies we can find just to get through it. But you're right, the time will come where we look back on this and there will be a whoa moment when we fully take in all of what this means. And I think that for our kids and for our children and our youth, our teenagers, it's very much what's happening right here in the moment. I think I know that there's kids right now who are really wondering, do I get to go to church camp this summer? Mm-hmm. Is the youth gather, or, you know, am I still Western States Youth Gathering? Is that still on? Are we still going to, on our backpacking trip or our servant trip? And, will I get to play summer baseball, things like that. But then there's also this other piece. And I think congregations and congregational leaders are really aware of there's a economic and financial impact that we are just beginning to see and understand and feel. And the long-term impact of that is massive and is huge and overwhelming. But we as children, youth, and family ministers, we have to stay grounded in this moment. We have to be with our people in this moment. We have to take care of ourselves and help take care of them and cope. And we can do another 3TC next year on how do we begin to heal from such a traumatic experience, right? I think I want to speak too to Adam. He had asked earlier about how we come out of it. I don't know. Nobody knows. I think there's a lot of articles being written and a lot of talking heads on the news, and they're trying to kind of predict what it could look like to recover from COVID-19. My wish and my hope is that they would just, you know, one day, you know, surprise, today is the day. Everybody's okay. You can go out. You can go to the park. You can go to the swimming pool and baseball games. But that is not likely how this will happen. It'll be a really slow transition back to quote unquote normal life. And who knows what normal life might even look like. So I think one of the things I've encouraged my clients, both adults and children, to do is really stay present in the moment, to focus on what they have control of and what they can impact today in their immediate surroundings and in their immediate neighborhood, and to not try to predict or prepare for or catastrophize what may happen in the future. Because the truth is, we just don't know. And that becomes kind of a game that you play with your autonomic nervous system. The anxiety of what if, or when, or how will it look? And that is not ultimately very helpful.
So I'm wondering about, we all have our own experience of, as the word you've used is trauma, the hotspots, you know, in New York and in LA and places that have, you know, crazy exponential growth every other day, and different states, the leaders are giving different ideas about what you ought to do and what you ought not to do and those kinds of things, but not just in physical places. I think this seems to be affecting different communities differently, racial communities, ethnic communities, places that have or don't have access to resources, food deserts, those kinds of things. I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit to communities of color and communities that may see trauma, experience trauma differently than white suburbia or the places that are not hotspots, that are sort of flyover country, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's important to recognize, I appreciate that question, Danica. I think it's really important to acknowledge that communities of color, people of color, are disproportionately impacted by COVID-19, both in terms of the infection rate and survival rate, as well as just the economic and financial impact of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. I reached out to Children, Youth, and Family Minister in our area, Kinna Kemp, who's wonderful, amazing, beautiful, lovely lady, and a great resource who does really wonderful ministry, and had some conversation with her just about what's important to understand and recognize in terms of COVID-19 and how that's impacting different populations. And one of the things that she really helped me to take a look at and understand is that these communities of color, or communities that are economically challenged, they're going to have less access to equipment that they might need to connect virtually. So for instance, they may not have Wi-Fi or the devices or chargers, et cetera, that are needed to work from home or to do school from home. A lot of the families that she works with live in tiny apartments. They don't have yards. So there's no access to being outside in the yard. The family's inside all day, every day. And some of the communities are unsafe, so they can't be going outside at all. So they're living in tighter spaces, which causes more stress and more anxiety within the family system. Danica, I think you were kind of pointing to the need to be able to get away a little bit. And when you're in a tiny space, that's really hard to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Additionally, you know, access to food is an issue. Pantry food is frequently lacks nutrition. It's not shelf stable. It's cheap, and it fills you up, but it doesn't really have vitamins or minerals, which negatively impacts your gut health, which then weakens your immune system, which both makes you more susceptible to illness and then also compromises your ability to fight off the virus if you were to catch it and become sick. And then she also pointed out that if you are an undocumented person and you don't have insurance, you're much less likely to seek out health care when your symptoms begin. You might try and take care of yourself as much as possible at home and not show up at the hospital until you're really extremely ill. I mean, it's the list goes on and on. I think it's important to acknowledge that, recognize that, and to see how trauma during a time of COVID-19 can be, look different in different communities. Mm-hmm. Kenna was able to help me identify some of the good news about resources available for families. One, you know, the food pantry, like we talked about, there's a lot of people, especially in Colorado, apparently. I didn't know this was a thing, but in Colorado, we do a great job of stocking food pantries. But the problem is it's very processed American food. It's not fresh fruit and veggies or protein. And it's not really appetizing or familiar because it's very culturally specific things like peanut butter and jelly and mac and cheese, which is not necessarily what people are looking for. Mm. Another good resource is Build a Ferment. It's a nice offer, but if you are a family who's been living paycheck to paycheck anyways, and you're either unemployed or underemployed, Build a Ferment just pushes, you know, kicks the can down the road. And Build Forgiveness is really kind of what's needed. And then finally, she pointed out renter's rights information is great, but if you're undocumented, it's really difficult to fight for your renter's rights. You can easily just be evicted and then have no place to go and no repercussions for that. Mm-hmm. So also she said, you know, schools are providing access to technology, which is wonderful. So some of these families who don't have devices are being provided with them. But if your parents don't speak English and haven't been taught how to use technology, then who is there to help you troubleshoot your tech issues? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of challenges that folks are facing, and particularly in her community. And I think it's important for us to continue to be really aware of what long-term impacts mentally and emotionally those communities might be facing. And then to remember that part of what we're doing right now as children, youth, and family ministers and checking in on our people is also checking in on our neighbors. So it's not just the people that are within our congregation, but the people who live in our communities that may not otherwise be connected to our congregation that may be in need and may have some real serious maybe into some really desperate situations.
Mm-hmm. How about, as we sort of wrap up here, how about suggestions that you have for CYF leaders who are the primary audience of this podcast, dealing with their own grief and loss, their own stuff while walking with families? Because it's cumulative, I think when we're checking in and we often are people who feel other people's stuff. How is it that CYF leaders stay healthy in this time where our primary role is to be connecting and checking in, but there's big stuff that we hear and learn and hold for people?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think I'm so glad you brought that up because I think there's also a piece of like congregations are, this is a tough time for congregations. We're not in the pews at church in order to pass the plate. And even if we were in the pews to pass the plate for a lot of families who have people who've been laid off or who are unemployed now or underemployed, there is not money to be put in the plate. And that has a trickle-down effect definitely for youth and family ministers, children, youth and family ministers who may be concerned about, you know, their job. And I know we've already had some folks within the network who've been laid off and some people who are concerned about being laid off. And so being concerned about your job and your own health and safety at the same time that you're trying to take care of others, I mean, that's scary. And then if you have a loved one who's sick or who's in the hospital, it's cumulative. It's cumulative trauma for sure. So I'm glad you invited me to offer a note of encouragement to children, youth, and family ministry folks, because I want to do that. I want to be able to say to you, this is going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Your people are going to be okay. And it's okay for you to relax a little bit. I want you to have permission that you don't have to do anything right now. You don't have to be producing more content. You don't have to prove that you're valuable in order to keep your job. You don't have to fully recreate the most creative online confirmation program in order to keep all your kids in confirmation. That is not what this time is about. You don't need to do any of that. What you need to be doing is you need to be taking care of yourself and you need to be taking care of your people by checking in. So relax. Take a deep breath. Remember that you're in this too, and that your health and well-being are as important as the health and well-being of your parishioners. Please, please, please take care of yourself. And if I may, if it's okay, Danica and Elizabeth and Adam, I'd really like to share this is one of the resources I'm going to be sharing with you, but it's called the ABCs of self-care. Would that be all right with you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you're going to think of self-care, my friends, think of it as having three aspects. One is awareness. The first step is to seek awareness. It requires you to slow down, to focus inwardly, to identify how you're feeling and what your stress level is, to understand the thoughts that are going through your head and whether your behaviors and actions are consistent with who you want to be. The next step in the ABC is balance. Seek balance in all areas of your life, including work, personal and family life. Your family needs you to be present with them first and foremost. Rest, take time for leisure, take time to fill your cup. You'll be more productive when you've had opportunities to rest and relax. Even though productivity is not the goal, if you're wanting to be productive, that needs to come out of a time of rest and relaxation. Become aware of when you're losing balance in your life and look for an opportunity to recalibrate. And finally, the last one is the C, which is connection, which is where we kind of started this conversation about checking in and being connected in community. It involves building connections and supportive relationships with coworkers and students and friends and family and community, whether that's texting, Zoom, Facebook, Skype, email. I have my 7-year-old right now is writing postcards to his friends. He's never even sent like a letter or a card in the mail, but that's how he's making connections now with his 7-year-old buddies. Connection is important, and it's one of the most powerful stress reducers. So there you have it. Awareness, balance, and connection are the ABCs of self-care. So children, youth, and family ministry friends, I love you. You are so valuable. Your gifts are so precious. And I want you to know that I am praying for you and holding you in my heart and just asking the Lord to watch over you and protect you during this time. And I hope and pray that you will take seriously the call to care for yourself first and then to check in on your youth and your families as you're able.
Thank you for that, Julie.
Yeah, that thanks so much.
Good. I do have 4 resources I would like to leave with you, if that's okay.
Yes.
I know there's a ton of stuff out there right now, and I don't want to just push more content on people, but if you're looking for these resources, I'd love to just kind of have them available. Is there a website they would go to for that?
Yeah, if you check the 3TC show page, we can link whatever you have for us right there. People can
sure. So I'll
there.
Just tell you, I'll tell you briefly the 4 pieces that I have. 2 of them are documents that could be helpful to your congregation and looking at how do we want to respond as a congregation to the mental health crisis that comes along with COVID-19. One is called Stress First Aid Response, and the other one is the Mental Health Psychosocial Response. Both are really geared towards taking care of your staff and taking care of your congregation during this time. They're not congregation specific, like they're not religious institution documents, but they are community organization documents I think could be really helpful.
Yeah.
The other 2 are a self-care document that has the ABCs I just referred to, as well as a couple other pieces. Parent and caregiver support, kind of tips and hints for parents who have children that they're trying to take care of during COVID-19. And then the other one is a whole wonderful, beautiful list of activities for kiddos. Not that you need to do more, but if you are bored out of your gourd and you are looking for something more to do with kids in your own home, or if your parents are looking for more to do, either with or without screens, it's a beautiful list of many, many different ideas that I just think look like fun. So I wanted to share those with you as well.
Fantastic. We'll get those up on the show page for people to check out.
Great. And last, I just want to make sure that everyone feels welcome to contact me if you have any more specific questions, or if you would like to talk through any specific situations or issues, you can feel free to contact me by email. And my email address is julie@bluecounseling, BLUECOUNSELING.com. And I'm always happy to help find other resources or connections for you to address whatever you might be facing individually.
Awesome. This has been a gift. And perhaps as we go along in this journey, we might kick around the idea of having you back, if you're open to that, as we live into a new normal. In some ways, I hope that we don't go back to where we've been, that we've learned and grown in particular ways over these interesting times. But also there will be sort of a re-entry process I don't know about you, but when I watch TV, I'm like, you're standing too close to each other. Why are you hugging? Why are you holding hands? Like, what is happening? I have this like already built in, like the new rules of operation of like 6 feet. You're too close. But obviously it's television and has been recorded long before any of this happened. So I might be the crazy person who like is yelling at people, 6 feet.
That would be okay. And we would be okay with that. And you would be okay. And we would all be okay.
But I do think that there's going to be this strange reentry period of like, can I hug you? Like, it's just going to be very different, especially in our congregations, right? Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
Do we return when we are able to be together? Let it be Easter for sure. I don't care if it happens in August. Like, it's going to be Easter.
You're right. It's going to be strange, but I'll tell you, Danica, you don't have to worry about it now.
That's true. Like you said.
You just focus on being present in this moment, getting the space that you need from your children and your partner, loving on them the best you can, and trust that those things will take care of themselves when the time comes. It'll be weird. You're right.
Yep.
You're right. But we'll figure it out when we get there.
Yep. So we might need your help re-entry.
I am here. I am happy. It is my calling in life to dwell in the place where mental health and the church meet. And I'm grateful to you for the invitation to talk with you today. And I thank you for making this a priority.
Thanks for sure.
So much.
It's at the forefront of our minds, whether we want it to be or not, right? All right. Okay. Before we go, here are a few quick announcements and reminders. Thanks to all of you who are members of the network. Your membership makes things like Third Tuesday Conversation and Connect Journal and Discipling Cohorts Initiative and Extravaganza possible. If you're not a member of the network, we encourage you to join. If you are, double check to make sure your membership is up to date. You can do so by logging into the website and then clicking on your name at the top to see your account status. We're grateful to be a community that cares for this ministry. Be sure to keep your network app live. We use that to give information and updates year-round. Other network events and items are posted on the calendar, and you can access other network resources there, like 3TC. Lots of good ministry resources are available on Martin's List, many of which can be useful during times of pandemic and quarantine. Be sure to check there and see what might be helpful. And lastly, please continue to hold each other up in prayer. This is a difficult time for all of us to be doing ministry. And we believe that one of the things that makes the network different and important is the way we support each other. Reach out to a colleague at a different church. Check in and see how they are doing. Be the network and the church for each other. Thank you so much for listening. New podcasts will be released on the third Tuesday of every month. Be sure to subscribe so you receive them as they come out and share with your friends. And finally, thanks to Paul Amlin, the 3TC producer, for his work. Have a great week. Bye.